Be done by Dr. Fleeta Mass Jackson, and she will talk about reaching equitable birth outcomes through Healthy Start. So Dr. Mass Jackson is president of Majeka, is that right? Oh, good. LLC, a national research firm and think tank, and is the leader of Save 100 Babies, a cross-sector group devoted to the social determinants for reducing black infant mortality. The author of numerous publications and presentations on the impact of racial and gendered stress on black women's birth outcomes, her work was featured in the documentaries Unnatural Causes and Is Inequality Making Us Sick? And Crisis in the Crib. So let me also say, wow, this room has gotten very full very fast, which is great. So there's a couple seats up front, and please make sure you've signed in on the sign-in sheet. Oh, Arden, do you have your hand up?
My hand is already given it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. A special thank you to Ndidiye Maka, who's up front, and she is functioning very well as timekeeper.
Where's my arrow? This. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be with you today to talk about Healthy Start. I like coming behind my previous colleagues because, you know, you have all these recommendations and some things that have gone forth, but at the end of the day is where does it go? Who does it? What's the translation of those things? Before I begin, I would like to recognize the Executive Director for the National Healthy Start Association, Deborah Frazier. And I'd also like to recognize the board chair, Alma Roberts, for the National Healthy Start Association. And thank you for your presence here today. I had certainly the pleasure and the privilege to lead the group of my colleagues who looked at Healthy Start, which is certainly one of those places that has, one of those organizations, one of those gatherings, one of those things that has certainly led the way in terms of reducing racial disparities in infant outcomes. So Healthy Start was designed to reduce the rate of infant mortality and improve perinatal outcomes in local areas with high rates of infant mortality. And it's interesting, I'm trained both as a psychologist and an anthropologist, so I kind of operate in both places all the time. And so I had the opportunity to talk to Audrey Manley, who was at that point acting Surgeon General, I think, during that period of time. I know Lou Sullivan was certainly in place. And so I asked him, I said, why was the emphasis, why were you pushing this at that particular point? And they said they knew something had to be done. They certainly came out of a 60s generation where we had all of these community-based activities. There was an agenda, there was a precedent for this. And so it just seemed natural that they would come up with Healthy Start as one of those places that would be in the communities most impacted and would provide the opportunities for those most impacted to be involved in changing the tragedy when at that time sometimes the racial disparities were 3 or 4 times higher than they are now. So we have seen improvements. So that's kind of the oral history, a little bit of the oral history in terms of Healthy Start. It was authorized in 1991. Congress authorized and began with 15 sites and has grown now to 105 sites. Serves 36,000 women, 90% African American, Hispanic, and Native American. And that's really important for us to understand that as we deal with the changing demographics, these populations are being served in a way that looks at all the cultural, economic, social, political, health, all of those factors that impact birth outcomes. It operates in urban, rural, tribal, and border communities, and it's a forerunner for place-based initiatives. The reality of it is that we now talk about place-based initiatives, but in 1991, really, that was really endemic in what was being done. It's just really interesting. You say the more things are different, the more they're the same. And so we really have a program that has been committed to communities, been place-based, did all the things that we talk about in terms of race and culture, economics, poverty, all of those things at the core of Healthy Start, but all with the purpose of making sure that babies could be born healthy, that women would have all the things that they needed so that they could bring babies to this world who are healthy and whole. That's one of the Healthy Start pictures I took. I like it. So what does Healthy Start do? What does it do? And let me back up again. SACM or FACM or whatever we would call ourselves. It's in our charter to provide recommendations for Healthy Start. And I think that's very important to understand that from the very beginning we were charged with analysis, evaluation, and providing the needed support. But in that support was to see not only what needed to be improved, but what were the assets within the organization. So Healthy Start provides direct outreach and client services. It provides health education. It provides case management. It provides depression screening and referral. And I think that's very, very important because, as many of you in this room know, that's not standard practice. That's not standard care for perinatal care. But Healthy Start has provided depression screening and referral. So they see women before who, as you know, if they present themselves as being depressed before, they certainly are at high risk of postpartum depression. Interconceptual care services, because it's community-based and because it's generational, and I think that's one of the things that gets missed. I dare say we don't necessarily have all the data for this, but I dare say in some of the communities where Healthy Start has operated generationally, they have generational women so that they really can talk about women not only across the lifespan, but across generations. And so we don't really have a full capture of that, but that's one of the things that Healthy Start is for its longevity has the potential to provide us information at that level. A continual health care services and train community health workers, which means it's not only about the health of the women who are having babies, but it also provides some economic support for the women in the communities. Let's see. Healthy Start then, because it's always been place-based, has always been involved with social determinants before we used that term. 1991, we weren't talking about social determinants. We had another term for it, but essentially you were dealing with housing, education, transportation, all of those things that make it possible for a woman to be healthy herself and for therefore to bring in healthy children. Community engagement. Healthy Start certainly has always been involved with the community being involved in lending their voices to what should happen. And individual empowerment. Let's see. So our recommendations are FON is a priority to reduce infant mortality and perinatal outcomes. So we want to see Healthy Start continue to be funded. And this is under our big ideas around equity and birth outcomes. And I will say that as my previous speakers have underscored that. Provide funds to expand the use of evidence-based and promising practices. And so what is the evidence base? And I've asked the question I'll ask you here. What's the evidence for the evidence? And so we really have to look at that very carefully. What is the evidence for the evidence? And so it means that we are always challenged to look at different methodologies to provide the evidence for the outcomes that we seek. Certainly it means we develop on solid ground, but certainly we can expand our territories in terms of what we say is the evidence for the evidence that we need. Document the impact of community-driven, patient-driven, strength-based, and culturally competent models. And this has certainly been one of the concerns. How do we document this? How do we, in fact, provide the information evidence to show that it has had a major impact? Expand the methodologies for documentation. And Healthy Start should be re-reviewed as an evidence-based model for home visitation. And certainly we know that Healthy Start has long had a history of home visitation where women from the communities have gone out to other women in the communities and provided navigation services, case management, all of the things that we recognize as critical and effective in terms of improving birth outcomes. Consider Healthy Start as a hub for place-based initiatives. There are a lot of place-based initiatives that are underway right now. But Healthy Start, I would argue, is certainly one of the longest, having been experienced at this for 20 years. And so, therefore, it should be a hub for place-based initiatives. Healthy Start to become a patient-centered community health team for women, children, and families. And so Healthy Start is well-positioned to look at the women, the children, and their total families, as well as its emphasis on the importance of male involvement. Healthy Start has done a number of innovative things, and community level engagement in ACA implementation. And so I know that there are a number of Healthy Start agencies are now working in navigation to go out to communities and make them aware of what the Affordable Care Act will provide for them. Promote resilience, coping strategies, father involvement, and social capital. And this is certainly critical. As I told you, I'm someone who does work on stress, and so resilience is really what we need to advance the assets rather than the deficits. Because people are surviving, most of the babies do come here healthy and whole. How does that happen? Drive community transformation, social determinants, around the social determinants, community health, and education. And these are the members of our committee who have worked diligently for this to happen, and I thank you.